Thank you. So this morning, my message is more of a talk. I don't really like speaking in front of people, so please bear with me today. But yeah, my message this morning is more of a talk. And it was really inspired by this song that has been coming up on my playlist. So I have Spotify, and Spotify continually like makes music. It gives me playlists. It suggests songs for me. And there's this one song that has continually every single day coming up on like my Spotify curated playlist. And it's called Be Still by Travis Green. And there's one particular part of the song that keeps coming back to me, that keeps speaking to me. And it goes, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Just trust and know that I am God. And I'm in control. I am still God. And what really, I guess, struck me in all of that is that the song sort of talks about the fact that we have to surrender ourselves to a higher power. We have to surrender ourselves to God and just relinquish what we think we know to God. But there's something that kept, I guess, bothering me or kept harping at me. It said, I am God, I am God, I am God. So the title of my message this morning is, who is God? And where I want to go with that is in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. And every single time I heard the song Be Still, and it said, be still and know that I am God. And every single time I kept thinking, okay, so Grace Popola, who is God to you? You who has made it this far, you who has had so many ups and downs and trials and tribulations, who is God to you? And for the longest time, I wasn't able to answer that question. Throughout various points in my life, I was not really able to fully, truly answer the question, who is God? And whenever I heard the song, or whenever I go through different points in my life, I always ask myself, who is God? Who is God to me? I am a very reflective person. I like to think and think and overthink and overthink. It's a, I guess, habit of mine, whether good or bad. And there are various points in time in my life where I like to reflect and reevaluate where I am and how far I've gotten. And one thing that constantly that I'm evaluating is where I am in terms of my faith, right? You know, as someone who's grown up in the church, you know, you're expected to have believed in God for the longest time. You're expected to know who God is. You're expected to be able to lead others, be an example for others. But how can you be an example for others when you don't understand what you're doing? How can you go out and lead others when you don't have a proper foundation yourself? You know? And I know for like a lot of youth that are my age, that are now like nowadays, a lot of my friends, we're all getting to this point in our lives where we're just like sort of having an identity crisis in a sense, right? For me, my major identity crisis sort of came through during middle school and high school. You know, for the longest time, I didn't really doubt God in a sense. For the longest time, I saw God through my parents' eyes. I saw God through the church's eyes. I saw God through the teachings of everyone else around me. And I wasn't able to see God for myself. And for the longest time, I had trouble understanding who God was. And I know that in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you hope in the future. But for me, there are so many different verses that I kept learning throughout the years, that I kept hearing throughout the years, and it didn't really sink into me because I didn't know who God was. It didn't really click for me. I'm like, okay, so I sort of believe in this higher power. I sort of believe that there's someone that's out there that's really controlling everything. But it didn't really hit home. And like I said, around middle school and high school, I had an identity crisis in the sense that I didn't know who I was, I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know where I was going. And it got to a point within that identity crisis that I was doubting my own existence in the sense of I no longer had that foundation that I thought that I had from the church. At some point, you know, because of the fact that I didn't understand that there was someone that was caring for me, I lost sight of everything. I lost sight of all the important things. You know, like middle school and high school were some really hard and tough days for me, and it wasn't easy. It was really hard. During that time, you know, I felt depressed. Like, I became really depressed. I became really sad. And at some point, I also became really, you know, suicidal because I didn't understand who I was. I didn't know where I was going. And it gets a point in your life where you get to your lowest of lows. And that's where God met me, for me. That's where I found God, you know? For me, like, it was a very interesting moment, sort of understanding that even when you don't think that you're going to make it out to the end of the year, that someone is there pushing you all the way through. You know, there was a point in time in my life that I remember thinking for the longest time I wasn't going to make it past my 13th birthday. There was a time in my life where I didn't understand that as a child of God, that there are plans for you, that there's a purpose for your life. You know, when you're a kid, when you're going through puberty, you have all these different emotions, you have all these hormones flowing through, and you're exposed to so many different things, and you're not really sure what to listen to. You're not really sure what is truth or not. And at that point, for me, when I was at my lowest, I almost lost it. But even when I was at my lowest, I knew that there were so many people that were praying for me. There were so many people that were looking out for me. And at my lowest, God put people into my life that helped me understand that God loves me and that God is there for me, and helped reveal God to me in my own, like, reveal God to me, you know? And I know that most people who are born again have that one point in their life where they see God, or where they come to an understanding, you know, this is my personal Lord and Savior. And for me, that moment came in like 10th grade. That moment where it was either I chose to end my life where I was, or I chose to see that I'm not alone, that there are so many people, that there's someone who's out there who's looking out for me, who has my back. And for me, I got to that point and I found God. And for me, from that point on, I was able to see that there is a God, and I was able to understand that God is so much more than what's like people, like, it's so unimaginable, like, the way that, like, people talk about God in so many different ways. People want to say so many different things. But when you experience God, when you experience his unconditional love for you, it is something completely, completely different, you know? And it's amazing how far God has got me. And I thank God every single day for keeping me and for allowing me to still stay alive. You know, even when I was at my lowest, God put people in my life to make sure that I didn't fall. God put people in my life that were praying for me, that were sending me Bible verses, that were making sure that I was still strong and all these different things. And during those times, I was able to see that, you know, there's someone out there who's looking out for me. There's someone out there who has that plan and purpose for me. During my lowest, I was able to see what I hadn't been able to see before. During my lowest, I was able to come to my own personal understanding and find my own personal relationship with God. And there's one particular verse that really sticks out to me, and it's in Isaiah 41 verse 10. and it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I'll read that again. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God is amazing. And there are so many different passages in the Bible that explain that. And when you're able to understand that, it's not by your own might, it's not by your own power that you're able to do everything. You know, it's through God only. It's through Him. And it was only through God trying to reach out to me and me finally hearing and me finally listening that I understood that I can't control everything, but that doesn't mean that someone else isn't controlling everything for me. And for me, after I went through all my different trials and tribulations, I was able to find answers to the question of who is God to me. For me, God became my strength. He became my hope. And He became my will to live. You know? In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who was, who always was, and who is to come, the Almighty One." And in Exodus 6, 2, it says, "And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh the Lord." And in Isaiah 43:15, it says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King." God has so many different names. God has so many different purposes. God reaches to so many different people in different ways. And for me, at that point, God was my strength, God was my hope, and God was my will to live. And, excuse me. And in essence, you know, God is, like, there are so many things you could say. For me, I always feel speechless whenever I'm talking about my own personal love for God, because I know what He has done for me, and I know how far He has brought me, and I know how far He's going to continue to take me, right? And another thing that I want to talk about is, I guess, God can reach you in so many different ways. And God will show and appear Himself to you in different ways depending on how you need Him and the circumstance in which you need Him. Can someone please open 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 to 13?
"Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
The reason why I wanted to sort of point out that passage was God wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He came as a still, small voice, or as a delicate whisper. And the reason why I want to drive that home is that there are so many times where you may think that God's speaking to you, or you may hear different voices, and you want to believe that it's God. But sometimes you have to listen past all the other noise. You have to listen past the wind, past the earthquake, past the fire, and if you are really in tune and are really, like, you have that kind of relationship with God, you'll be able to understand that he's that small, still voice that is speaking to you. God isn't a God of confusion. God doesn't give out different messages. God doesn't say one thing and say another thing. No, God comes to you with one solid thing, and if you are in tune to him, you'll hear it. You'll listen to it, and you'll be able to carry out whatever he's saying. And I pray that we all get to a point in our faith where we are able to hear that small, still voice and able to discern it from all the rest. Amen. So going on to my last section, I want to answer the question, who is God? Right? Because like I said, this is a talk. And that was the main question that kept coming to me. Who is God? So I've always found the question to be personal. So here are some of my personal answers to that question. For me, God is my strength, as can be explained or seen in Psalm 28, verse 7 to 8. Which says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king." God is also my provider, which is seen in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Which says, "He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes and places them in the seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order." God is also my protector. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4. Which says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." And most importantly, God is love, as you can see with John 3:16 and 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21. And lastly, God is my peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Which says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And, you know, I hope today that you're able to sort of reflect in the same way that I have and think about how far God has gotten you in your individual races, where you are with your faith with God, and sort of are able to easily answer the question, who is God? You know, I hope you don't have any hesitation or any doubts about who God is to you personally. And I pray and ask that God will never depart from any single one of us, and that we shall continue to be able to serve him faithfully. Shall we all rise? Our first prayer point this morning is, God, help me know you. Let me understand who you are. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and ask that you shall help us to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name, our second prayer point is, our second prayer point is, God, allow me to have a personal encounter with you. Allow me to see you through my own eyes. For Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and ask that we shall have a personal encounter with you. In Jesus' name you have prayed. And lastly, we want to ask for forgiveness of all of our sins in any way we may have fallen short of his glory, in any way that we have done anything wrong against God. I pray and ask that we shall ask for God's mercy and forgiveness.
For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Church, let us just pray for this wonderful woman of God that as she has been used today, that God will not depart from her in the mighty name of Jesus.